Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Don't look now, but there's an asteroid that has Earth on its collision course. Can this planet be saved? Salvation tells this tale Wednesday night on CBS. Executive producers Liz Krueger and Craig Shapiro join me next in an internet radio exclusive. What do the prominent on CNBC and wags on E! Have in common? A rising unscripted TV producer in charge. Machete Productions chief executive Amber Mazzola makes time for us next half hour. The bold type, freeform's drama of magazine writers out to engage readers and bosses alike, begins tomorrow. Great executive producer Sarah Watson will come by after the top of the next hour. Also ahead, Curb Your Enthusiasm's return engagement and our latest classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this half hour. Good Monday afternoon to you and all. Welcome to the program All About Television. Beautiful day here in the Big Apple. 83 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a jam-packed show for you. A lot of super people. So tell a friend to join you here on Blog Talk Radio and be part of the program. As I said, missing guests coming your way. And as always, you are invited to take part. How do you do it? You raise your voice, and then you use this phone number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. We've also got our chat room available for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or get in the room. Either way, we will hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And Liz Krueger and Craig Shapiro from Salvation on CBS will be live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. 6 years after supposedly signing off for good, Curb Your Enthusiasm is coming back to HBO, and fairly soon. 10 new episodes making up Season 9 start playing October 1st. Larry David returns as star, co-executive producer, and lead writer of Curb, known for its improv handling of key scenes. El Chapo's second season will begin on Univision this September. The unique collaboration with Netflix had more than 3.5 million viewers for its first season finale a few weeks ago. Netflix is currently playing that season in full, and you can catch our exclusive segment with creator Savannah Geary-Zagara and producer Daniel Pasala at our homepage and on iTunes in podcast form. And one casting note before we move to our first guest, Jennifer Jason Leigh will co-star opposite Benedict Cumberbatch in Melrose, the forthcoming Showtime miniseries based on the popular Patrick Melrose novels. And that is news notes for today. CBS has had a nice streak going with unique dramas during the summer. There's Under the Dome, there's Sue, which is now about to start its third season, and kicking into its fourth season this Wednesday night is Salvation. It's about an asteroid that is on collision course with Earth and the people trying to prevent that disaster from happening. Joining us live in Internet Radio Exclusive from Los Angeles, executive producers Liz Krueger and Craig Shapiro. Liz and Craig, welcome in.
Hi,
hey,
how are you?
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have both of you on. And Liz, we'll start with you. How long has this series been in the works for?
Well, tell me if you can hear me okay. I'm on my cell phone in a hotel room in Toronto, so let me know if I'm not coming in clearly.
You're coming in loud and great.
I should tell you we're married.
Ah.
Perfect. Craig and I are married, so I don't know if that just gives you context for the story, but Craig and I, we work for CBS. We've been working with the network for several years now. We did Expanse Season 2 for them, and we got a call from the head of the network on a Thursday evening at 8:30 p.m., which was unusual. And he said, I got a crazy assignment for you guys. There's this script that we had that was about an asteroid coming. And it's basically been dormant for 2 years. And I love the idea of an asteroid and a guy who's building an ark, but basically I want to start all over. And here's the thing. I need a summer series, and I basically need it in 10 days. He said, can you guys look at this, and what could you do with the script in 10 days? So it was like being on a reality show. So Craig and I read the script, and we called him the next day and said, listen, we would start from scratch, and here's what we would do. And he said, okay, well, then do it. And without outline, without any sort of preparation, we locked ourselves in a room for 10 days. It amounted to 12 days, actually, when all was said and done, and turned around a script, checking in with him every day, like sort of pitching him where we were. And it was a very liberating process because it was not, it didn't go through the mill. It just was sort of, you know, we had friends come for lunch and we'd pitch ideas to them and then we'd go off in the back room and write. And ultimately, 12 days later, we turned in a script. He loved it. He gave it to Les Moonves. And I think 2 weeks later, we had a greenlit series. So it was kind of a kooky, unusual process for a show to have been birthed such a way.
Craig, what was the most important thing that you and Liz had to do to make the script worth Leslie Moonves' idea of giving it a green light?
Oh, wait, say that last part again. It's a little hard to hear you.
Yeah. What did you and Liz do to tweak the script so that when Leslie Moonves saw it on a CBS, he said, okay, folks, go for it?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, you know what we did? We started from a different starting point. You know, what we thought was really interesting was two aspects. One is sort of the, like Matthew Broderick in War Games. We created a character who was an MIT grad student, and he was one of the smartest people in the world, but he's not the most sophisticated. You know, he's young, and he's naive, and he's still got a lot of passion for what he does. He's not cynical. And that seemed like a great way into the show and a great way to approach this kind of material. And then through him, he would lead us into the story. So we invented that part of the world. And we also thought it would be very interesting to treat the whole thing like a secret, because to have secrets is, you know, can drive a lot of story. You have to work so hard to keep those secrets, you know, because if the secret gets out, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be world pandemonium. So we must keep it secret. And but there's a price to pay for keeping secrets like that, because it's very corrosive on your relationships, on your love life, and on all your relationships, because if those secrets come out, it's going to be really ugly. So that's that kind of framework we used as our jumping off point to try to tell the story.
Guest 655, by the way, has come into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Thank you for doing so. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. From there, Liz, how long did it take for you and Craig and your production team to get this thing going where it's going to be happening Wednesday on CBS?
Well, interesting. So from the moment, it was like getting shot out of a cannon. We were greenlit, and we immediately started casting, you know, interviewing writers, bringing on, you know, searching for a director. And we were in the writer's room by the first week of November. I think our green light came sort of end of October. So we were in the writer's room in November. We started shooting the pilot in late February. So we had 3 months to prep, build sets, and everything that goes along with creating this world. And if you've seen the pilot, the first and second episode, the sets we built were the Pentagon and sort of this SpaceX facility and Grace's house, and you know, we built a whole world. And to take to build those sets was an enormous undertaking. And so I guess from the moment the green light happened to the moment we started rolling was about 4 months. Is that right, Craig? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, right about that. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
And
but,
now
we're shooting our 11th episode right now. We'll be wrapping by the end of the month. And but as Liz said, it was a dead run to build these amazing, beautiful sets. You know, our one of our leads is sort of his name is Darius Tanz. He's an Elon Musk kind of a character, and we built the entire world of his sort of SpaceX type production floor and his what we call his treehouse, where he has his creative inspiration, this beautiful, amazing, enormous series of sets. And this takes time to design and build and figure out how we're going to use it, and that's part of the fun of pre-production.
Mm-hmm. And Craig, why did you decide to shoot the program in Toronto?
Well, Toronto, it offers so many things that, first of all, of course, you know, you get the tax rebate that you get from shooting here in Canada, and so that's very attractive to the people who pay the bills, which is the studio and the network. But also, it's very flexible. It's a city that can look like Washington, D.C., which is where a lot of our show takes place, and it can look like Boston in certain blocks, and with a little help from visual effects, this Toronto can really look like a lot of places. And there's also a very deep acting pool here, so you can draw for all your other guest actors. You can draw from right from here or from New York, which is close by. So Toronto is a really, really just a great place to shoot.
Escalation is for Liz.
Yeah, that's it.
Liz.
I said it has a lot of good restaurants, too.
Right.
I've been there also, and you're right. A lot of restaurants, a lot of great locations, and it really has become a major TV production center, not just North America, but all over the world, too. As I was about to say, Salvation is CBS's latest summer drama. It premieres this Wednesday night at 9:30 Pacific time, and we got the people responsible. Executive producers Liz Krueger and Craig Shapiro joining us live from Toronto, where the series is shot, right here this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you a little bit down south from Toronto in New York, where it's 83 degrees at the top of this hour. And if you'd like to pose a question or comment, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04. My name is Guest 665 is doing. Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, we got a blockbuster of a program for you. We've got the people behind Apple's first original television series, Planet of the Apps. Ben Silverman, the former head of NBC, the person who also was company Alexis, gave us things like The Office and Ugly Betty. He's one of the executive producers, along with former Naturographic Channel executive Howard Owens, and they will both be with us live right here as our lead guest on Tomorrow We Televise. Also, rescheduled from an earlier date, we've got the person behind the controversial BET series Tales, Irv Gotti Lorenzo. They'll all be with us, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, and we'll also ask them about the Emmy Award nominations that come out on Thursday morning. And you have a chance to weigh in on them, too. That's all coming up Friday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. Liz, your lead character, Darius, is played by Santiago Cabrera. Did you invite him to sort of play Elon Musk, or if not, Matthew Broderick, or did you have, like, a certain type of personality in mind for him?
Well, the truth of the matter is that he's a mashup of a lot of people. I mean, we talked about Steve Jobs and Richard Branson and Elon Musk. But, you know, we wanted somebody who was exotic and inventive and sort of brought an entirely unique vibe to this character. He had to be elusive. He had to be charming, romantic, and a visionary. He had to be sort of a leading man, but yet elusive enough that you weren't really sure whether his motives were all pure. It's a very complicated character with a complicated backstory. And, you know, Santiago, the second we saw his reel and the casting director introduced us to him, we just knew that he was this very special and unique actor, and we were just desperate to have him take the role. And so we had a lovely meeting with him, and he ultimately agreed.
Mm-hmm. And Craig, who are some of the other people in the cast?
The rest of our cast is Jennifer Finnegan plays a woman who is the press secretary at the Pentagon. And as our story unfolds, Charlie Rowe, who is this phenomenal British actor, he plays our MIT student, Liam Cole. He discovers that this asteroid is coming. He brings it. He realizes that his professor, who he told the story about the asteroid to, has vanished. He doesn't know he's running for his life. He doesn't know who else to go to. And he goes to Darius, who's played by Santiago, and they take it to the Pentagon, where the rest of our leads work, which is Harris Edwards, played by Ian Anthony Dale from Hawaii Five-O, and Jennifer Finnegan, who's the press secretary at the Pentagon. And together, the four of them have to work to really get into solving the main story, which is, how are we going to stop this asteroid from getting here? And one of the main thrusts of the show is that a lot of what's involved in what we do is not about really about the asteroid per se, but about people's reaction to the asteroid, which, needless to say, some people are not going to react well, and the clash of cultures between sort of the Darius Tan's SpaceX world of private industry and the clashing with the Pentagon world of Paris Edwards and the Pentagon, that clash of systems is what drives a lot of our show. And one of the questions we really ask at the center of the show is, you know, are we going to kill ourselves before the asteroid ever gets here? A lot of our story turns on a Cuban Missile Crisis through the center of the season. And so it's very interesting, and it goes into places that you really could not begin to guess if you only seen the pilot.
If I can just interject also, you know, the thing we thought was very interesting. Sorry?
No, Liz, go ahead. Liz, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Grace, the thing that we liked about, we found interesting about Grace Barrow's character and what Jennifer Finnegan does so beautifully is she brings sort of the every woman quality to the role. She's a single mother. She's got this job in the Pentagon. She's, you know, she's obviously accomplished, but she's not a scientist. She's not a military person. She doesn't have agency to solve the problem. But she is the every woman coming into the story, because if you found out you were faced with an extinction-level event, how far would you go to save the world? What rules would you break? It's sort of like it's sort of a reflection of the times we're in now, which is people feeling very powerless. How do you take power and make a difference when it seems like things so much larger than you are away, and it feels as if one person can't make a difference? This is a show really about a woman who actually does make a difference, who creates agency for herself, and it's about finding hope in a time of hopelessness. And so her character does things she never thought that she would ever be asked to do or forced to do. And she takes risks that are so far outside her comfort zone. And that's what being faced with an extinction level event does to the people in our cast. It puts everyone outside their comfort zone. And so we found her character particularly interesting for that reason. And, you know, Darius Tanz we found interesting because he's a guy who's all about saving humanity in the theoretical, but in the actual, you know, he loves humanity, but people, not so much. So we found that sort of an interesting dichotomy. And then Harris Edwards, who is the deputy press secretary at the Pentagon, is the consummate company man. And so he's a guy, it's not that he's a bad guy, but he's a guy who's come up through the system. And Darius is a guy who lives outside the system. They both have the same goals, but at the same time, they don't have the same solutions to solve the problem. So it's sort of about, can human beings come together to solve the problem or destroy themselves in the process? And then in addition to that, you've got the people on the outside, the other countries who are getting information at the same time as the United States. Who controls space? That is a really big question. And if what we do technologically to the asteroid could have negative consequences for the other side of the world, who gets to make those choices? Who gets to play God? So there's a lot of big questions and moral consequences that flow from how those questions are answered. And Craig, I know you liked the story about the research that came out last week about the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, it's so interesting because literally in the middle of while we're shooting, some research came out that said, hey, if the asteroid that destroyed the dinosaurs had landed 30 seconds earlier or 30 seconds later, there'd still be dinosaurs in the world today. So it just happened to hit in the exact wrong spot if you're a dinosaur. And so what that says to us is if you could control where the asteroid goes, even slow it down by just 30 seconds, you could make it land in a part of the world that's not here. Does that give you the moral right to do it? And those are the kind of questions that we're wrestling with in the show.
Hello, we've got 715 into our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming by. Have a question or comment for our guest? Get in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Liz, last night, Turner Classic Movies presented a doubleheader of films by the famous writing, producing, directing team of Frank and Eleanor Perry. And the first film they did was, and I don't know whether the timing was so ironic to your series, was a film that was done called Ladybug, Ladybug. It's about a school that has to deal with what may be an alarm that the world is about to end thanks to a nuclear attack. And it was done, by the way, after the, or in the midst of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it's a fascinating movie. Won't give it too much away. But I was very curious whether your program, whether your series, as we get to know these characters, deals with the idea of paranoia, the idea of the fear of what if the world can't be safe? What if we're all going to go down? Or what if we're going to be, you know, stuck in shelters for the rest of our lives?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're dealing with all of these emotions, and the thing is, we're dealing with them before the rest of the world perhaps knows about this. So we're dealing with them in a very private way, which is kind of fascinating to us. We're dealing with this in the nascent stages of the crisis, before the government has released any information to the populace, because to do so would create potential anarchy and chaos, right? Because, you know, we thought about this. If you were listening to NPR driving to work and they said, hey, an asteroid may hit Earth in 186 days, and the government right now doesn't have a solution, well, what the heck would you do? Would you pull over, get out of your car, and not go to work? Would you go to work? Would you just quit your job and get on a plane? Like, it would cause sort of a social and emotional chaos. And so the government makes this what appears to be a very paternalistic decision to not tell people. But then our characters on a micro level, I mean, Grace Barrows is a mother of a girl graduating from high school. Does she tell her daughter this? Once you tell people, you can't untell, you know, the secret is out. They must carry the burden, and their life is ruined, right? So the question is it selfish or selfless to tell someone you love the secret? You know, and then you put on that sort of the national security sort of bubble, which says you can't tell anyone because should one person find out and make the wrong choice to tell someone else, that secret getting out could have massive cause massive worldwide chaos. So you're dealing with that sort of emotional toll on the characters. And then in addition to that, you're dealing with people wondering, who do you love and how do you love if you think the world's really coming to an end? What choices do you make for yourself? How do you stay hopeful when you're in a sort of a state of what seems like hopelessness? And what we think what we've tried to do in the show is really, this is about solving the problem or trying to solve the problem. So there is a lot of hope. This is not a story about, this is not a depressing story. This is a story about human beings in their finest hour, but also, you know, does this like this bring out the best or the worst in some people? That is really what we examine. You know, we've talked about this. This show is a cocktail of things. It's a summer popcorn movie on some level because there is a roller coaster ride to it. It's a geopolitical thriller because how the world responds to this problem creates all sorts of, like Craig says, a sort of a Cuban Missile Crisis scenario. It's also a sci-fact adventure, which is human beings having to invent technology that doesn't exist yet to save the world, and that's quite exciting. But at the end of the day, it's a love story, as most things are, because human beings, you know, what makes us human is who we love and how we love, ultimately. And I think that's the heart of the story when you peel away all the other layers is how does this decision change who you love and how you love and the choices you make in your life?
That was well said, Liz. And Craig Shapiro. I'm sorry, go ahead, Craig. Well, I guess you were. Hang on, they're coming back. As I was saying, you're hearing Liz Kluver and Craig Shapiro. They are the husband and wife team behind Salvation. It's the brand new CBS summer series that premieres this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. That was live from Toronto, Canada, where the series is being filmed as we speak. And you're hearing them live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum will be with you from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, my very good friend, Rick Brett from Philadelphia, just joined in the room. Next Monday on our program, you'll hear about a service that's fast rising. It's called Acorn TV. It's about the best of English language television that you don't hear about or don't regularly see from England, from Canada, and other parts of the world. And we will have the head of programming of the service, Tom Kleck, will be with us. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Craig, when it came to hiring a director to bring your vision to life, you both picked a person named Juan Carlos Presidio. Tell us about him and why you decided this is the person that we're entrusting our vision to.
Right. Well, you know, of course, this is one of the most major decisions you can make when you're putting together a pilot is picking the right director for the material. And we, of course, knew Juan Carlos from the movie 28 Weeks Later. And, I mean, that movie is like a visionary movie. And he's a visionary director and one of the loveliest people I've ever met. But he doesn't normally direct in a genre that's like this. You know, he doesn't do sort of what we would think of as a sci-fi thriller kind of a thing that's more like a, like Salvation is. But we had a meeting with him, and he just blew us away with his take on it and his passion for the love story at the center of the show. And he put together a book. You know, directors bring in a lookbook that shows sort of what they imagine the show will look like, and you flip through it. And we were so blown away by his vision for the show that it was to us a no-brainer. That it's, I mean, basically as soon as he left the room, we knew that he was the right guy, because just, you know, you have to feel that energy between all of you and know that you're all on the same page. And we knew right away that he was the guy. And he delivered extremely special. Yes,
he's very cinematic.
He wanted to have a. Sorry, Liz, go ahead.
No, I was going to say he's very cinematic, and he just has a very large scope. Because he doesn't really work in TV, he doesn't think small, and everything just has sort of this beautiful palette to it that was just larger than life. It feels like a movie, you know. He just has a real scope to have to shoot. And also, we were very, I think, in sync with him in terms of casting. We wanted to cast people who felt like real people. We didn't want it to feel like, you know, we're in a TV show. We wanted to feel like this was real life happening, that texture, and that's what he brought to it.
Right, that style and that tone. It's really about a tone thing, and that's why director is so important, because the director really, really sets the tone with the actors, and so we all were on the same page, which is that that kind of realistic kind of approach to the scenes and the characters. And I really think it's all on the screen. You can really feel it and see it.
And that will start unspooling this Wednesday night on CBS, the premiere of Salvation, the network's latest summer drama, which has had a very good line and track record so far with shows like Under the Dome and Zoo, which is coming back for its third season also, I believe, the same week as well. You can catch the first episode of Salvation this Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time on your local CBS station. So check your local listings for where that station is available in your area. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.cbs.com. That's www.cbs.com. And I believe that the series is also available on smart TV sets and smart devices through CBS All Access. Liz Krueger, Craig Shapiro, the executive producers and writers of Salvation, thank you again for joining us in a fantastic half hour. All the very best to both of you. I'd love to have you both come back down the road, and hopefully this first season will be the beginning of a great run.
Hey,
thank you so much for having us.
We really appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
It's been a pleasure all the way, Liz and Craig. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay, bye-bye.
Liz Kluwer and Craig Shapiro joining us live from Toronto, Canada. More Tomorrow Televised coming your way after some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Did you see The Help? Fantastic movie from some time back. Wonderful performances, wonderful script, a unique time and place. Well, you can catch that time and place now in audio format, and you can do it right now when you subscribe for a free trial to Audible.com, if that's the audiobook you want. Audible.com is the home for spoken digital audio entertainment and information. Over 180,000 titles you can choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Take a free audio book, get a 1 month trial of the service, and get great customer service from the fine folks at audible.com, who are part of amazon.com, whose latest Amazon Prime Day begins tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time. So don't forget, if you want to be transformed about the way you hear the world, the simple way to do it, check out audible.com. It's audibletrial.com/televised, and believe me, it's a sound experience that can last a lifetime. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program All About the Two, with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And when we come back, we will have a music-oriented classic trivia question of the week. You'll be very surprised about the source of this particular music tune. But first, one of the fast-rising stars in unscripted television, Amber Mazzola, who runs her own company with Shady Productions. Her latest run is the next season of The Prophet, premiering tomorrow night on CNBC. Amber joins us live from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for LIV Radio. Check it out tomorrow and every day, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best of VCR 24/7 at YouTube.com, and check out our program and other Blog Talk Radio shows on podcast form through Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, order it online or go to an Apple store near you. Welcome back to more of this 90-minute edition of Tamabi Televised for this July day of 2017. Simon Apple Bamboo with you live from New York. 80 degrees at the top of the hour. More guests coming your way this hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is your voice and this phone number, 646-652-2906, or you can get into our chat room at SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We've got guest 665 and our friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, already in the room. Our next guest runs her own production company, Machete Productions. She really started her career on the scripted side of the fence, but thanks to Machete and some wonderful shows she has done through that company, she has now become one of the major players in the world of unscripted television. Among her output, The Prophet, that begins its latest season tomorrow night on CNBC, and the latest episode of The Wives franchise coming in August on E! Joining us live in another internet radio exclusive from Los Angeles, Amber Mazzola. Hi, Amber. Welcome in.
Hi. Thank you.
What's
good
it
to be
like
here.
To do your own? Absolutely. What's it like doing your own thing with your own company as opposed to working for someone else?
Oh God, it's a lot of fun, but there's also more pressure that comes with it, and more stress, and I have to deal with insurance and legal and all these other things that I didn't care about as a showrunner. You know, as a showrunner, I remember not caring if we shot on that boat because I didn't get the proper insurance. But now when it's, my job and my ass on the line, I care.
Plus, you had a chance to meet some very unique characters. And one of them is someone we have come to know through CNBC, and it's Marcus Simonis of The Prophet. How did you and him connect?
Yeah, Marcus is great. How do we connect? We connected at the very beginning of The Prophet. I had worked with Jim Ackerman, who's senior vice president over at CNBC, for a while when he used to be at VH1. And when he went over to CNBC, he sort of brought me over there with him and wanted me to do this new show that he had, that he had signed this deal with Marcus Lemonis. And Marcus was this great piece of talent. And, he knew that he was willing to, kind of write these checks and invest in these businesses, but we didn't have a format for the show. And they brought me on board so that I met Marcus basically through CNBC, essentially.
And what, in your mind, suggested this person and what he's doing would make great reality television?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's very rare. I mean, a lot of people try to do a version of this show, right? And I think it's very rare when you have someone that is actually willing to put his own money on the line. So there's a lot of stakes. It's a lot of... There's a lot of pressure for Marcus because it's real business and it's not production money. We're not giving him, $1 million to go do a deal with a certain company. So, I mean, anytime I think you have someone that's willing to kind of put it out there and really take an investment in a potential really big hit, which he's taken quite a bit of, I think that that's the recipe for something, that can be really great. And on top of it, I think Marcus is really charismatic. I think he's, even though he's a billionaire, I think he's very relatable. And I think people learn something from the show. There's a takeaway that people sort of feel like, they learned something after watching The Prophet.
From what people tell you, what do people learn about watching The Prophet?
I think people learn... I mean, look, I think I've actually learned also what not to do in business and what to do and sort of how to, how to approach certain situations and maybe how to look at your employees a little differently or how to, assess something if the shit's hitting the fan. I think that people, I think it's hard. And when I first started working on The Prophet, I sort of thought when Jim brought me over to CNBC, I was like, I think you might have the wrong person for this show. Like, I've never balanced my checkbook. I didn't go to business school. I think you might have the wrong person. And I think that what they got from me was someone that could take business that's really heady and sometimes very dense and make it relatable and make it sort of fun to watch and relatable for other people. So I think different people take away something different, right? I think if you have a business degree, I think you might take away something different than someone like me that doesn't balance a checkbook.
One thing I take away, and I've watched The Promise from the start, is that there are special details no matter what kind of business that Marcus is involved with, but there's special common details that if you as an entrepreneur don't follow, that's your pitfall.
Right. Yeah, details. Yeah. I mean, there. Yes, I think there are details. I think also there are certain things as you look at Marcus. Like, Marcus is really a big believer of a handshake. And, like, whether or not, you know, the lawyers are coming in that second to do the deal, you know, when Marcus kind of says what he wants to offer and he says what he's going to do to a company and he shakes someone's hand, I think his hand is really important and his shake is really important. And I think that a lot of people don't. I don't know. I guess a lot of people sort of don't believe in a handshake anymore, and very few people kind of think that means something. And to Marcus, it means kind of everything.
Mm-hmm. How do you grow Machete from the start to where it is now, where you have projects being juggled either because they're running on different networks at the same time or you're developing as much as you produce?
How do I juggle it? Is that your question? How do I?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's not easy. You know, I think for one, obviously, like you take these two shows, the profit is very, very different than my E shows, which is WAGs, you know. And it's juggled. I think, you know, I think that it just shows that a range that we can do, quite honestly. And I think that what happens is that we just have really great people sort of working on each different franchise that can do it and help me out. I think what we offer that's sort of the common thread through both shows is a sense of story, like a really strong sense of story. And I think that's what you get with The Prophet, is that not only is it a business show, but it's a show that has a lot of heart, and a lot of times Marcus has vulnerability. And I think you get, you know, you get sort of this, even though it's not scripted, you get, you're telling a story. As far as how to juggle it, I've got an awesome team. It is not all just me here. I've got a great development team. I've got great executive producers that are really hands-on and help out.
Mm-hmm. One more thing about The Prophet, we move on. I think it really speaks volumes of both Marcus and the series, that it's not only shown success stories, it's also shown the failures. It's also shown when, for example, the owner, for whatever reason, comes to the conclusion that, Marcus, I can't do the business the way you want me to. I cannot go
right.
this route, whether rightly or wrongly. And that you have, and that there's a little bit of courage in a way to say, you know what, we're going to show it this way because maybe there's a lesson that we can all learn from it.
Yeah, that was a really big thing for Marcus. You know, Marcus has always said from the beginning, business is raw, business is real. Sometimes the deals change, sometimes the terms change, and he always wanted to follow that, and I respected that, and we did. We did just that. It was never going to be this sort of rosy story if it wasn't. You know, it's like we weren't going to gloss over it. And there are plenty of times, quite honestly, where we air a glossy story, and then 3 months later, you know, a business is like shit on Marcus, or something hasn't panned out the way Marcus wanted to, and the deals, and sometimes the deals do change, but. But, yeah, no, that's – I mean, it's interesting for you to notice that. It isn't like this typical glossy makeover show where every episode you're going to have a happy ending if it's not happy.
The latest season of The Prophet premieres tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on CNBC. It's one of a number of shows that come from Amber Mazzola's company, Machete Productions. We'll talk about another one coming up, the latest in the WAGS franchise that will be premiering on E! Next month. Amber Mazzola is the head of Machete. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on tomorrow. We'll be televised. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. Delighted you're aboard with us on this wonderful Monday afternoon, July, 83 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Amber, well, pick up the phone, dial in 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name of guest 665, and Rick River, our friend from Philadelphia, into the room. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will hear from Sarah Watson. She is the executive producer and the creator of the new Freeform series beginning tomorrow night. It's called The Bold Type. It's based on the career of Joanna Coles, former Cosmopolitan writer and now the head of content for Hearst Magazine. That's coming up at the top of this hour right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amber, let's get to WAGS. For the benefit of folks who may be initiated about it, explain what WAGS is and how you came to make it.
Okay, WAGS. WAGS stands for Wives and Girlfriends of Sports Stars. It's basically, it's a British term. It's not really popular in America, probably not until, you know, the show happened. But essentially, you know, I worked with E! For a very long time. E! Kind of helped me start my career in my production company. And one of the executives had called me and said, you know, hey, we think, you know, we love the term WAG, you know, in kind of these soccer stars in Britain. And what about kind of like looking into it and doing something with sports stars in, you know, Los Angeles? And so that was kind of it. It's like I had a log line and I had a title. and I had to, I developed it. So, you know, we sort of like looked into different WAGs, different people, you know, obviously there were, we couldn't get the Giselle and the Posh Spices of the world, but we looked into all these athletes and all their wives and girlfriends and sort of just created this show around this world that, that exists with these women that kind of really do band together, and, you know, travel together or not travel together, deal with their husbands leaving all the time. And but that's essentially what it is. WAGs is following these women where their husbands live these sort of elaborate kind of crazy lifestyles where they play pro sports and travel all over the country.
How do you figure who gets the airtime? And then once you get the group of people you want for a particular location, whether it's New York or Miami, which is coming up next month, that who –
yeah.
Who, like, how an individual episode deals with who?
Well, I think it is an ensemble cast, obviously, right? So it's not just like a couple people. And I think that in order to make it interesting and to keep people's attention, you probably need definitely more than following two or three of them. But who gets the most airtime? I mean, I think who has the most interesting stuff going on in their life, quite honestly. I mean, you know, there are some of our girls that, two of our girls, Natalie and Olivia, for example, have these very popular blogs and where they have 2 million followers and they have a lot going on in their lives. And so they're fun to follow. You know, they're designing clothing or they're, you know, they're in this, they have this crazy fancy photo shoot or they've got a lot of stuff going on or, you know, someone, for example, if their husband or boyfriend is making the Super Bowl, like that's fun to follow. I think it's really kind of what's happening in their lives. And if someone's got nothing going on, we're probably not going to give them too much airtime.
There are a number of other networks that are doing, maybe VH1, for example, has Mob Wives, Basketball Wives. They've done like similar shows where they have a group of wives in a particular situation. Is there things you learn? Do you have a chance to see your competition or semi-competition? If you do, are there lessons you can learn from what they do that you can either avoid or maybe use in a show like WAGs?
Are there lessons? I mean, yeah, I think we all kind of watch each other's shows. You know, it's hard to say that because, like, a lot of these people that put on these different shows at different networks are friends of mine. So it's like I'm not looking at it to do, like, you know, for what not to do necessarily. But I think, look, one of the things I think that sets us apart is that some of these shows actually have, like, ex-wives on it or ex, you know, ex-girlfriends. And they make a show about that, which is also entertaining. I think one of the things that sets us apart is that we actually have the wife on our show. We have the girlfriend on our show. Like, unfortunately, like if you broke up with someone, you know, you're an athlete, you're probably not going to be on our show. but as far as like learning, like, yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of watch each other's stuff and we don't want to copy each other. I think we want to sort of, you know, learn by it enough to like not, you know, to not do the exact same thing, but to do something that's equally as entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Amber, I think we have a call. Amber, I think we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Okay, let me try one more time and let's see if we get this person. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Okay. If you're trying to get in, give us a call back, 646-652-2906. Amber, you originally started out doing scripted television, and I believe you worked for two of the geniuses of sitcoms, Tom Clarkey, Marcy Werner. What was that experience like, and at one point did you say, I want the unscripted life?
Tom Werner, Marcy Carsey, yes. I actually started as a PA for them a long, long time ago on a show called Cosby with Bill Cosby. It was not the Cosby Show. I'm not that old, but it was the spinoff that they did years later with Madeline Kahn. And I was a PA there. And so I sort of worked my way up to be a writer's assistant and then be a writer. And my first show was actually not with Carsey Werner. My first show was with David Alan Greer. An NBC show called DAG. It was David Alan Greer and Delta Burke, where he was she was the first lady, and he was protecting the first lady. But, you know, how did I get into it? I mean, I got into it just because I started in scripted, and how I got out of it was I don't think, you know, I was jonesing to get into reality television. I think, quite honestly, I there's a huge writer strike that happened, and I was an out-of-work writer because of it, and I hated being out of work, and it was like kind of this awful strike. And I remember that at the time, Carsey Werner was launching a network called Oxygen, and it was Marcy Carsey and Oprah Winfrey and another woman, Geraldine Laybourne, who were putting together the network, and they were going to do this show called Girls Behaving Badly, which was this hidden camera prank show, but they needed writers for it, and they were looking for a head writer. So I got the job, and here I was sort of writing these pranks, I guess, if you will, for Chelsea Handler and some other celebrities, and I did that for 5 seasons, and sort of after that, I was in this very weird sort of period in my career where I could either continue down this road or I could go back to scripted, and quite honestly, the reality boom had hit, and I sort of went into it, you know. So that's, I kind of fell into it, quite honestly, because, you know, after doing 5 seasons of Girls Behaving Badly, it's not really a sitcom. You're writing pranks. It's different. It was sort of this hybrid between reality and scripted.
Given where scripted TV is at, with so many people doing it and so many concepts and so many shows making it, whether it is on the broadcast networks or cable or Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, would you consider plunging back in, at least maybe for one show?
Of course I'd consider it. I mean, I love it. Scripted television today is amazing, and it's so different than when I started. You know, when I started, it was like your very traditional multi-camera sitcoms like Friends, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond. And it's just so, it's so different now. And I find myself, quite honestly, like every night, like I'm watching Netflix and Showtime and FX, and I'm not watching these reality shows. I probably should, because that's my business. But I would love to do that one day again and get back into it, for sure.
You know, right before you came on, we had Liz Krueger and Greg Shapiro from Salvation, the new drama coming up on CBS Wednesday nights, and they mentioned that for getting this series on the air, part of it was like reality show, unscripted show-like. It was like, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe Amber could take her production crew from her company and maybe help get into Liz and Craig for like the 10, 15 days they had to do rework the script for the opening episode.
Yeah, then I'm going to watch a bunch of writers sitting around a room. yeah, no, I mean, yeah. What are you saying? I should go shoot them? I can't afford to go to Toronto. Reality money is a lot cheaper. We have less budget.
Well, Lydia would have been great because they're a husband and wife couple. We've had a number of them, by the way, over the course of the nearly 10 years been on the air, Amber. And it's always interesting to see how you have husband, wife, you know, brother, brother, sister, sister, mother, daughter, you know, father, son. When you have these duos doing television, I think it might make a very interesting unscripted series to see how they work with each other, particularly in the heat of the
I think they're more interesting, honestly, when they get home. I think probably at work they're probably pretty nice to each other. I think when they get home around the dinner table is when the real stuff comes out. So, yeah, if I can go home with them, we might have a really good show on our hands.
Mm-hmm. Something to think about. Incidentally, over the run of Machete, is there a particular series that you were particularly proud of that didn't make it as big as you thought it would?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I mean, there have been pilots that I've done that I thought, oh, gosh, that should have gotten picked up. When you see a lot of the other stuff that's on television, you know, you can sort of critique it that way and be like, oh, really, there's this on TV, like, and they couldn't pick up this. But I think, you know, there's a couple things that I've done that let me preface this by saying I'm not sure that I'm necessarily proud of it, but I do think that, like, if you know, television is such a different landscape today, that if we were producing the show today, I bet it would have gotten picked up. And one of those shows is Pretty Wild, was this kind of crazy show on E! Following the Bling Ring. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was these people that were sort of robbing houses from Orlando Bloom and Lindsay and everyone else. And there was a TV show that E! Coincidentally we were shooting, and we happened to be following one of the members of the Bling Ring and had no idea when we were shooting it. But I think something like that was, the ratings were like super, super high, and today I think people would die for ratings like that. So I think I don't know that there's necessarily shows that I'm like, oh, you know, they should have gone multiple seasons, but I think that there are shows that I've done in the past that, like, in today's landscape would probably be on, like, a multiple season.
We're speaking with Amber Mazzola. She runs her own unscripted television production company called Machete Productions, and among the productions they're doing, which is coming up on E! August 20th, is the latest of the WAGS franchise, WAGS Miami. It's August 20th on E! Amber joins us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum back with you live from New York. Delighted you're aboard with us on this Monday, July afternoon. Hope all is great where you are. Be part of the program. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming Friday on the program, Ben Silverman and Howard Owens, former executives of other places, now they're involved with their own company, Propagate, and among their projects right now, Apple's first original television series, currently playing on Apple TV through Apple Music, Planet of the Apps. They're our lead guests on Friday. Also, rescheduled for an earlier date, we've got the creator executive producer of the controversial BET anthology series Tales, whose latest episode takes place tomorrow, Herb Gotti Lorenzo. That's all coming up right here, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Tomorrow We Televise. And coming up later this half hour, our classic trivia question of the week, which deals in part with a classic song. All right, Amber, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon, it's Rick Lev calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Rick, good to hear you, and you're on the line with Amber Mazzola, so go for it.
Hi, Amber.
Hi, Rick.
Now, you're known for editing, and, of course, like your company's name came from your editing techniques with a machete. So, and they used to say that reality shows were written in editing, and they were written by the editor. But my question is, I'm wondering, like, what techniques you use or you advise your producers when, like, the footage just isn't getting to editing. Like somebody's just not as their personality is just weak. So, like, how do you get, like, more personality out of people or get them to open up more to get better, something better for editing?
That's a good question. I mean, look, here's the thing. I think that sometimes our producers don't watch all the raw footage, and I think that if we've hired characters on our show that we know are good cast members, I think that, quite honestly, if people were to watch the raw and truly watch all of the raw, they might actually find some better stuff. But as far as how we get them to open up, I mean, look, I think that comes with, like, a really great showrunner and someone that these people trust out there. I think that someone like Marcus, for example, on The Prophet was really he didn't trust the process in the beginning. He never had done television. He came from, you know, being the CEO of Camping World and didn't know the process. And I think that Marcus and I had a good rapport and dynamic, and once he started to trust me and trust the process, he opened up and was amazing and vulnerable and very likable and relatable. And so I think that's the key. I think it's connecting with a showrunner that that will give the goods, you know, get the goods from these people. Because I think that if they've been brought onto a television show in the beginning, they have what it takes. They just have to, you know, it has to be pulled out of them a lot of times.
Cool. And I just wanted to also add that Marcus and The Prophet are awesome, so thank you for everything you do, because I know that show helps a lot of businesses and a lot of people save their businesses. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for watching.
Absolutely. And thank you, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. And before you go, we still owe you a Monty Python FAQ book, because you got the answer to our classroom question a couple weeks ago. So please email me your mailing address, and we'll get that out to you this week, okay?
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Take care. Rick Rowe from Philadelphia right here on Tomorrow We Televise. What do you make of the current unscripted scene, especially what's going on right now with broadcast, where it seems that this summer – primetime game shows and competition shows are back in vogue. You have programs like World of Dance on NBC, Thunderdome with Steve Harvey on ABC, the revivals of Pyramid, Match Game to Tell the Truth, The Gong Show most recently, Battle of the Network Stars. It seems that that's the hot activity right now.
Yeah, look, I think there's going to be a very big difference always between network shows and cable shows, right? I mean, the shows that I'm doing currently wouldn't exactly be on network and vice versa. So I think that you're always going to have, I think ABC and NBC and CBS are always going to do those kinds of big sort of you know, blockbustery type shows, competition, game show, and I think they're fun to watch. I think that, you know, there's definitely a market for them and people love them, and some of them are sort of going back to, like, these old school kind of competition and game shows, which I think are great, too. But I don't, you know, I don't think as far as, like, competition or anything, I don't think that exists really because, again, it's really different. Like, what I produce for cable wouldn't necessarily make a network show.
Well, before I let you go, Amber, besides what you're doing with The Prophet and with E! With Wags Miami, what else is in the hopper from your company?
We have, well, we're also launching Wags Atlanta, too. So we have a third part of the franchise. So we're going to air Miami and then L.A. and then Atlanta. So it'll be all Wags from about August through January. And then we have a couple things we're working on with Bravo, some other stuff with E! And I have a pilot I'm doing right now with CNBC with Alex Rodriguez that I'm co-producing with Michael Strahan. So there's a lot of fun stuff.
So that for a moment. That's a very interesting combination. Strahan's doing great with Pyramid and his own production company. And a lot of people are very high on where Alex Rodriguez is going in television. He's done some early good baseball commentary work, I believe, for Fox Sports. What do you think of Alex as a TV talent?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think he's – I think he's great. I think if he can make, you know, it's a CNBC show. It's similar in nature to The Prophet. It's right now it's called Back in the Game, and it's kind of taking these athletes that have pro athletes that have lost everything, and building them back up, sort of like what Marcus does, and finding kind of another job and a new lease on life for them. It's all about second chances, and I think that Alex is probably a really great person to do a show about second chances. And I think that, you know, I think that if Alex can be relatable and likable, I think it's a great combination.
Well, Machete Productions is on fire with a lot of projects, and the next one coming up is the new season of The Prophet, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on CNBC, followed in August by Wags Miami, August 20th on E! Check your local listings for where CNBC and E! Are available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the programs online, for The Prophet, CNBC.com. For Wags Miami, eonline.com. And for more details about everything that Amber's company is doing, here's where you go, machetetv.com. That's machetetv.com. A lot in action and in development there. Amber, thank you so much for coming on this half hour. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the new seasons of Wags and The Prophet and a whole lot more. I'd love to have you back when you and Michael Strahan team up for Back in the Game. I hope that becomes a series.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Amber. Take care. All the greatest.
You too. Bye.
Amber Mazzola from Machete Productions, CEO there, joining us live from Los Angeles. And now it's time for our weekly feature, the Classic Trivia Question of the Week, and you could be our next winner if you get your answer in and you're the first correct to do so. You remember Jim Croce, fantastic singer. So it's hard to believe that 45 years ago he died in a plane crash, but he left a wonderful body of work that showed how much of a marvelous songwriting talent he was. He was really the classic 1960s, 70s troubadour, like James Taylor and like others ever since. He could do a wonderful power pop song like Bad Bad Leroy Brown or a wonderful plaintive ballad like Operator and I Have to Say I Love You in a Song. Well, one of his most famous songs was Time in a Bottle. But what may surprise you is it was introduced to millions through an ABC Movie of the Week that premiered before he passed on from that plane crash. And that's our question. Name the made-for-TV movie introducing Time in a Bottle. Name the ABC made-for-TV movie introducing Time in a Bottle. And I'll give you one hint. The stars of that movie were Desi Arnaz Jr. and Season Hubley. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and your full mailing address. And if first with the correct answer, you'll be our winner. We'll announce you on the air on Friday. And if you just missed the question, no problem. We'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and my Twitter handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's the UBCSimonTWBT. And we'll also, if we have time, we'll also redo the question as well in our next half hour. Coming up in our next half hour, we will, I believe, go back to Los Angeles, and we will hear the creator executive producer of Freeform's new drama about life inside a magazine, The Bold Type. Sarah Watson joins me live after we pause at the top of this hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, your home for the best internet radio around, with more than 25 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. It's your home for Music on the Couch. Check out the latest episode tonight dealing with the upcoming Calgary Blues Fest. That's Music on the Couch tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow We Televise, the program all about the two, brought to you by Audible.com. Welcome aboard, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Apple, Van Moody, live from New York, 83 degrees at the top of this hour. Delighted to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment for upcoming guests, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or you can use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. It's available on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise, and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. The big new series for Freeform premieres tomorrow night. It's called The Bold Type, and it is based on actual life. The life of former Cosmopolitan editor Joanna Calls, who is now the content editor at Hearst Magazine, the full Hearst Magazine unit. And it's about a trio of magazine writers who are out to please both the public and the people that they work for. And joining us live right now is the creator executive producer of The Bold Type and interview exclusive, Sarah Watson. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure to have you. Where are you calling us from this afternoon?
I'm actually in a trailer in Montreal on set. We're shooting the finale right now.
Ah, terrific. Well, let's talk about how you came to put this show together, and did you have a chance to meet Joanna Calls before you did?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I had a chance to spend copious amounts of time with her. I actually had heard about the project when I met with a producer who told me that he had this relationship with Joanna, and I've just always been such a big fan of hers and of the magazine. So I jumped at the chance to meet with her and to pitch around on ideas for the show. But truly, meeting her is just amazing.
How long had she thought my life would make a good television drama?
I don't know that she ever thought that. It was actually our other executive producer, Dave Bernad, met her at a dinner and just found her so dynamic and interesting as she was dealing with all this Cosmo drama over dinner. And so he said to her, your life would make an amazing show. And she kind of just said, oh, that's, you know, that's nice. But if you're serious, fly out to New York and watch what I do. And he did. And he was relentless and convinced her that her life would make a great TV show. And then I was relentless and convinced both of them that I was the writer to do it.
And when you did, what about Joanna and what about the idea of life at a magazine did you want to capture the most?
Well, I mean, there's two different questions there. Life at a magazine, I feel like I've always been enamored with that world. It's just such a wish-fulfillment-y, wonderful world. I've always loved New York. I had a chance to live there. And the magazine world is just so sexy and glamorous and interesting. But then in terms of Joanna, she's just this absolutely amazing, strong female boss. And I just found her so completely inspiring. And talking not just to her, but to her employees who just worship her and want to work so hard for her, I just thought, like, gosh, what a great entry into this world.
Mm-hmm. I read a few days ago another interview that you or one of the other executive producers did, and I think also Joanna was involved too, where you really wanted this series to show a boss of an enterprise, particularly a female boss, in a far different way that has been shown on television before, that you wanted someone who empowered the people underneath her as opposed to putting fear and, you know, dread in the lives of the workers.
Oh, definitely. That was so hugely important to me. I just feel like we never get to see those kind of women on TV. And I always write from a place of reality and a place of heart. And the kind of female bosses I've had have truly been mentors and wonderful people. And it was really important to me to be able to show that on screen.
We're speaking with Sarah Watson. She's the creator and executive producer of The Bold Type. And it's part of a great doubleheader coming up tomorrow on Freeform. First up, the new season. I believe it's the first season premiere of The Fosters at 8 o'clock. And then at 9:01, yes, 9:01, The Bold Type premieres. And Sarah joins us live from Montreal, where the show is being produced right here this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Internet radio exclusive. Simon Apple, family live from New York. the lives you are with. Well, again, those of you just joining us at the top of this hour, if you have a question or comment for Sarah, don't be shy. Pick up that phone and raise your voice to 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Or get into our chat room. You'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is already in the room. Sarah, how long did it take from getting the green light from Joanna to make this happen to getting the light from Freeform and then turning into a series tomorrow night?
2 years. It has been a long development process. Yeah, I think it was, I'm trying to think, I think it was about 2 years ago in June or July that I had flown myself out to Cosmo to meet her for the first time. And then we pitched it and sold it to NBC first. And then when they passed, we completely retooled it for Freeform. And it was about a year ago exactly that we were in pre-production on the pilot and shot the pilot. So it's been a long process and a huge labor of love.
Did you shoot the pilot in New York? I saw some New York scenes in there. Was it all in Montreal?
It was actually, we shot most of the pilot in Toronto, and then we did one day in New York. And then now we're shooting the series in Montreal, and we're going to do a few days in New York to make sure we really sell the New York experience.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that both Montreal and Toronto, we had the folks from Salvation on CBS who are using Toronto as their home base. And it's interesting how you have these two Canadian cities so close to each other that can represent, and they really have become to represent any cosmopolitan city you want.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, actually. You know, we really wanted to shoot the series in New York, but once we saw the production value we could get out of Canada, we were pretty impressed. I'm often amazed at some of the shots we have that I can't tell are Canada.
So, Sarah, tell us about the three women who are the key roles in your series.
Sure, yeah. There's three women all in their mid-20s who met as their first day being assistants together. We've got Jane Sloan, who's the writer, probably the most like me. She's sort of type A and really approaches her work that way. Then we've got Kat Edison, who's kind of, she's the social media director and probably the most classically millennial. She just doesn't know enough to know that she should be afraid of anything or anybody, so she approaches life with this just tremendous boldness and gusto. And then we've got Sun Brady, who's the last one left behind still as an assistant and who's just still trying to find her voice a little bit and find her way.
And they are played by Katie Stevens, Aisha Dee, and Megan, I think it's Megan
Fahey,
Fahey, correct? Fahey, great.
And Megan Fahey, and it's Aisha Dee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And very diverse, very multicultural cast, which I'm sure was by design.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we wanted to show what today's world actually looks like, and that's a diverse, multicultural world.
And are the ambitions pretty much from all three women the same, or did you try to, like, shade it a little bit so that, let's say, there was a certain thing that character A wanted to go after, the character B was sort of downplaying, and character C is like, I want to be the boss. Or I want to head my own magazine down the road.
Yeah, no, there's definitely shadings. And like I said, Kat's kind of our classic millennial, very, very bold, very go after every opportunity, but probably deep down is the one who has it the least figured out. Whereas Sutton, who's the one who's a little more reticent to speak up for what she wants, I think really has herself figured out. So we wanted to sort of show all the shadings and all those tumultuous places that you are in your 20s. Because when you're in your mid-20s, it's such a crucial time in your life, and you can either be still an assistant or you can be on the road to being a vice president. There's just such a huge disparity in where you are, and we wanted to really show that.
Mm-hmm. The person who played the boss, by the way, is an actress who I have enjoyed for years in all sorts of roles ever since she made her television debut in the baby role of Dirty Dancing, the short-lived television series. That's on CBS. Her name is Melora Hardin. She is wonderful. Anytime you see her in a television series, you have to put it on, you know, just get your dial over to that show because you know she's going to always deliver the goods.
Oh my gosh, she's so fantastic in this, and I just feel so fortunate to have her. And it's funny that you bring up Dirty Dancing, because Katie, Aisha, and Megan, who played Jane, Kat, and Sutton, had no idea that there was a series based on Dirty Dancing, because they're all way too young for it. And it was hilarious the dance that they found out that she's a baby in Dirty Dancing.
That was a show, by the way, that actually had quite a few interesting people come out. I think Patrick Dempsey came out of that program, and also Constance Murray, who later became the George Lopez's sitcom wife from the George Lopez Show, and is also involved with a program that just ended its wonderful run on Freeform, Switch at Birth.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even make that connection. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So it's like... Somebody, YouTube, I know the episodes are still available somewhere. I haven't seen them since CBS actually ran that show way back. And it was during the summer, by the way, I believe. It was a full primetime show. It only ran back about like 13 episodes. But maybe somebody should bring those episodes back. And they're really, actually, it was quite a good series. It was not, you know, like, how can you adapt a movie like Dirty Dancing, an iconic film like that, for television? But they actually did a pretty good job with it.
I know, I remember. I remember watching it as a kid, so that's so funny.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, how much did Joanna contribute to the show in terms of showcasing? Like, I had this experience in this time my cosmopolitan career, try this out as a plot line, or try this particular, well, you know, have our threesome go out on this particular story, and let's see what happens.
Well, what's so great about Joanna is she basically just opened up her whole life to me and to the other writers. Like I said, I spent a lot of time out at Cosmo, and I would just basically follow her around, and kind of, she would let me into these meetings, and I got to go over to the digital side, and I would sort of just take notebooks full of information down, and then she would tell me stories, and she did pitch a couple specific areas, but mostly she was just great about kind of, she was like, you're the TV writer, you find the story, I'm here for the resource. And she's just been great every time I call her up and say, like, okay, we want to do a story in this arena. What great, crazy stories do you have? And she just, she has a lifetime of fantastic anecdotes.
Did you tap for your writing team anyone else who had magazine experience, particularly in the type of environment like Cosmo?
Yes, actually, I did a couple. So Wendy Straker Hauser, who's just an amazing writer, she had come up in the New York journalism world and had actually just moved out to L.A. maybe, I think, 7 or 8 years ago to make the switch into TV. And she had never written at Cosmo, but she had written at a bunch of different women's magazines and kind of lived that Cosmo girl lifestyle. And then I have another writer, Justin Lowe, who had in another lifetime had been in wanted to be a designer and had gone to design school. So I definitely have people in the room who have those experiences, which has been fantastic to have.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the issues, or what are some of the plot lines early on in the bold types that we get to see in the first few episodes?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. What don't we cover? We're kind of covering everything. You know, for Jane, we're going to see her really struggle to find her identity as a writer and be challenged to write about things personally. And we'll see her more want to gravitate towards writing these big political pieces. So we're going to get to see her interview a congresswoman and have it not turn out quite like she dreamed. For Kat, we're going to get to see her tackle her social media stuff and keep going head-to-head with the board. But also we're going to get to explore her love life, which is really fun and exciting because, you know, as we sort of set up in the pilot, she's really struggling and exploring her sexuality with this one woman. And for Sutton, she's the one who has at least figured out right now. And so we're going to see her finally speak up and express what her dream has been her whole life, which is to get into fashion. And that's something we'll follow her through the entire first season.
Mm-hmm. Well, with her character, what kind of issues that you, or what kind of situations does she face as a fashion writer? Does she get the chance to see the runway? Does she get a chance to see sort of the cutthroat nature sometimes in terms of what it's like to be a model, the whole issue of bulimia, or, you know, staying thin, if you will, being sometimes leading to a health issue?
Oh, that's interesting that you bring it up. That's actually not something we explored because because we're not a high fashion magazine, it's a little different than being at a magazine like Vogue or something like that that's constantly showcasing runway models. For a magazine like Cosmo or Scarlett, it's a little bit more the fashion of that every woman is wearing. And so actually, we almost went the opposite. It was important to us in terms of casting that we had body diversity as well as racial diversity. So you will see, like, not everybody who works with Scarlett has, like, a size 00 body.
Tell us that for a second about the situation with body diversity, because one of the big breakout stars this year on broadcast television, and in fact on all TV, is Chrissy Metz, who was one of the major characters of This Is Us. And what she does in that, by the way, program is marvelous. I have a hunch she's going to be a big supporting actress Emmy nominee on Thursday morning when those nominations are announced. But it's interesting that, you know, that's one of the things that you're dealing with, is to really make it an important thing to have not just diversity in terms of background, but diversity in terms of body nature.
Yeah, no, it's just, and I mean, we hit it, I think, very differently than This Is Us. It's not something we really explore or even talk about yet in the first season. It's just something that's there. It was important to us that, like, when you look around at this office, like, not everybody fits that cookie cutter mold of what you would expect to see at a women's magazine. Because that's the reality. When I went to Cosmo, there's girls of all shapes and sizes who are rocking an awesome pair of jeans. So that was, I think that's been a great part of the show for us.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Watson is the creator and executive producer of The Bold Type. It's Freeform's new big drama series for summer of 2017. It premieres tomorrow night at 9:01 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Freeform, right after the season premiere of The Fosters. Sarah joins us live from Montreal, Canada, where the series is being produced. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Sarah, don't be shy. Pick up that phone and raise that voice, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next Monday on Tomorrow We Tell Live, we'll concentrate in part on a fast-rising service that showcases English-language television, not just from England, but from Canada and other English-speaking countries. It's called Acorn TV. It comes from former BET President Bob Johnson. It's getting a very big following these days on smart TV sets and smart devices. And Dan Clark, the President of Programming, will be with us. That is next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Sarah, we talked earlier about what you wanted to show in terms of a boss, but I understand another topic that you want to really make an ongoing one for the series is mentoring. How you do it, how you don't do it, how does it show up in your series?
Oh, yeah, we see it at all different levels, and we see it done right and we see it done wrong. Again, that was just something that I wanted to show the reality of what's happening out there in the world, because I think there has been this shift in the last 10, 15 years, certainly since I've started my career, that as women become more powerhouses, there's less of this need to push other women down, and there's more of a culture and a community of supporting one another. So with Melora's character, with Jacqueline, we're going to see her really be an incredibly tough but incredibly supportive mentor. And then we have another character, Lauren, the executive editor, who's a little bit more of the I don't have time to help you woman. So we'll see it all.
Mm-hmm. What about the role that social media is playing more and more in how we react to television, how we react to politics, how to react with any aspect of life?
Oh, my gosh. So that's, social media is huge in this show. And honestly, I think the advent of social media and of digital is why we were able to even do this show. Because I think for a long time, networks were really nervous about doing shows that were about magazines, because there's not a tremendous amount of urgency when you have a magazine that only comes out once a month. Whereas now in our show, we can write an article in the morning, have it post in the morning, and have comments and backlash by the afternoon. And that is something that happens. And, you know, we've seen that the internet and Twitter, I think it really brings out the best in people, and it brings out the worst in people. And so through all our characters, Kat, the social media director especially, we're going to see that. And we're going to see the negative consequences of Twitter, and we're going to see the positive.
Did you and your writers and your directors talk about what you wanted to focus on with social media, with Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and all the other purveyors?
Oh yeah, I mean, and when I went out to Cosmo, I had the chance to meet with their social media director too. This woman Eliza Benson, who's just incredible, and it's such a huge part of everything now that it's just a huge platform and a part of the show. You know, we jokingly refer to the big four as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And, you know, I wasn't even on Snapchat before this show started. I had to get on and learn it, which was somewhat horrifying. But that's the language that millennials all use to speak to each other and to communicate. It's how we get our news now. So, you know, it would have been impossible to do this show without the big four being a huge part of it. And we sort of invented our own language on screen for how you see those, all that media being popped up on the screen.
All episode long, we have featured one way or the other women who are making it in television. Liz Krueger, husband and wife team on CBS Salvation. We just had Adam Rizzo, who runs her own company and doing a lot in terms of unscripted television. And here you are, one of the latest producers of a freeform series. That freeform has had a marvelous track record ever since the original Pony, before it was ABC Family. Most of its shows are executive produced or created by women. What do you like about Freeform in terms of the environment that they're giving you to create the kind of programming you want to do?
Oh, well, they've been absolutely amazing. And, you know, it's interesting because I don't think it was designed this way, but they're a network mostly run by women. I think of, you know, all of the executives I deal with on a day-to-day basis over there are women. And so all of them have had these experiences in their career where they've dealt with different issues as they've risen up the ladders of how we get treated as women. And so it's been really exciting because they've been such champions of putting all of that into the show and even sharing their own experiences to put into the show.
What are the outgrowths, Sarah, of what happened over a year and a half ago, the whole Oscars So White situation, as that we've seen all these different ventures out to bring more women, and particularly women of color, into television as writers, as producers, as directors. You've had situations like We for She, the Alice Institute, the Women in Film Institute with the Blacklist. You also have women of color, particularly acts of color like Viola Davis and Gina Rodriguez and America Ferrera, who I met, by the way, earlier this year at Hearst Digital New Front back in May, who now have their own production companies. And Luis Lita Gomez, who also has their own production company, is working on a pilot for Freeform called Issues, which I know was showcased in part last year. What do you think needs to be done beyond this in terms of bringing more women into television and give them the opportunity to do what you're doing?
Gosh, I wish I had the answer to that question because then we could do it. You know, I think having more women bosses helps. You know, some of my, in my early career, I was hired by two women and just had an incredible experience. And I feel like when you have women in positions of being bosses, you know, they hire more women. But in terms of a magic answer, I don't have one. I think all this attention and all the conversation has been great. I'm really hoping that this show can show how women can be incredible bosses, and just putting it out there. As much as we can put it out there and show it on TV that this is the way to do it and have people see that as normal, I'm hoping that will help. But I just don't have a magic answer. I would love to see more women behind the camera.
Well, you know, it seems that that is the case. What we've also learned, and took me over the 10 years of newly doing this program, is that when it comes to diversity, whether it is women of color, people of color, there's no one magic bullet. You have to deal with it on any level possible, the producer level, the studio level, the network level, the medium level, to try to bring as much. Yeah, it really is diversity for diversity, or more inclusion for inclusion, as opposed to
And hiring assistants who are women and diverse candidates, because those are the people who get promoted. It really is like getting people on the ground floor, and also going all the way down to the university level and, you know, encouraging people, you can go for this and do this, and any of the diversity programs all help. Like, everything helps a little bit. But I think it's going to be a long time before, you know, the numbers just still aren't there. There's still a huge discrepancy between men and women in this industry.
And on that note, we will leave it there, except to tell you that the bold type, Freeform's newest original drama series premieres 9:01 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time tomorrow after the fifth season premiere of The Fosters. Check the moments where Freeform is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, freeform.com. That's freeform.com. Once again, The Bold Type, based on the life of former Cosmopolitan editor, now head of content for Hearst Magazine's Joanna Coles, tomorrow night, 9:01 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, right after the season premiere of The Fosters. Sarah Watson, executive producer and creator of The Bold Type, thanks again for joining us. Good luck with the series. Hopefully tomorrow is the beginning of a long and wonderful run.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
A pleasure, Sarah. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Sarah Watson joining us live from Montreal, Canada. Let's give you one more time our classic trivia question of the week. Name the ABC made-for-TV movie introducing the Jim Croce classic song, Time in a Bottle. Once again, the stars of that movie, which ran on ABC in the mid-70s, part of the Movie of the Week franchise every week, were Desi Arnaz Jr. and Susan Hubley. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you include your name and where you're from. And if you're correct answer, we'll highlight you in our program Friday. Remember, you can also find the question tomorrow on Facebook and on my Twitter handle at UBC Simon TWBC. That's the UBC Simon TWBC. If you came in late on today's program or want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version on iTunes.com or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store or order it online. Once again, I want to thank all of our guests for making this 90-minute special special. And coming up on Friday on the program, we'll have an interview with the people behind Apple TV's first original series, Planet of the Apps, Ben Silverman and Howard Owens. Plus, rescheduled from earlier, the creative executive producer of the controversial BET anthology show Tales, next episode tomorrow night, Herb Gotti Lorenzo. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. What do you think about the world of television? We want to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters. So raise that voice involved. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not for those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Don't forget Amazon Prime Day begins tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And remember, Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. For a 30-day trial and a free audio book, it's www.audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your day and your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.